Today's episode of Puck Soup is sponsored by SeatGeek, the smartest way to find hockey tickets this postseason. Dave, let's say you want to go see one of these teams that's in the Final Four for the National Hockey League's Stanley Cup playoffs.
I can't say all that. That's too much to remember.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you are somebody who wants to see some hot playoff action, there's nothing like being behind the glass, and there's nothing like using SeatGeek to find those tickets. You get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I got the SeatGeek app on my phone. You got one too? By far the easiest way to find and buy hockey tickets. You can be anywhere with just a few taps. You can instantly find tickets and seats for this weekend's games or any other games during the week. You get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, Dave, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price.
They're so nice like that. Thanks.
They are.
Thanks,
plus,
SeatGeek.
Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, you, the Puck Soup listeners, our sweet little babies, our sweet little baby chicks out there that Dave and I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you do it. You download the SeatGeek app. You go to the settings tab. You click add a promo code. The promo code you're looking for is S-O-U-P. That spells soup. And SeatGeek will send you $20.
Wait.
After you made your first purchase.
S-O-U-P, like S-O and then the mascot,
you
U-P?
Have to go S-O and then find the emoji of the former Montreal Expos mascot, U.P.
Okay.
Now with the Canadiens.
Okay.
Or you could just put S-O-U-P of the letters.
Yeah, that's probably the way
as
to
the
go.
Promo code.
I would do that.
And then SeatGeek will send you $20 back after you've made your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app today, enter the promo code SOUP, and enjoy the show.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.
I'm Greg Wyshynski with Yahoo Sports Puck Daddy Blog.
I'm Dave Lozo. And I don't feel like we lost the podcast today. I feel like we lost the podcast in the first three episodes.
You're in Puck Soup. Lozo is back from his jaunt to Seattle, where you discovered what about Seattle and culture?
A lot of hippies in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Very hilly town.
Yep.
A lot of steep inclines.
Yeah. I remember there being one near the Pike's Market that I was really like, I don't want to even go up this. I just ate.
Yeah.
No, bread bowl of something.
You turn left and you walk down. You're right at Pike Place, and you walk two blocks up while you're on that street, and then you turn right, and it's just like it's like putting the incline at the gym at like 40. Mm. You're just like and like I'm not.
And
prepared
then the
for
gym
that.
Is what? It's a
come on, look at you. You're an Adonis. You know what the gym is.
You told me you had sourdough pizza in Seattle. I've never heard of this such a thing.
I had this. I forget the name of the restaurant because I was pretty fucking buzzed the whole time I was there, but it was just
sour
like,
pisons.
It was sourdoughs. Oh, come over here and have some sourdough pizza. Had this good sourdough pizza, good seafood, good breakfast.
What is
good
drugs. I don't quite get the gimmick with sourdough pizza.
It's just sourdough bread with just pizza. Like picture like a flatbread pizza you would get.
Uh-huh.
Instead, it's just sourdough, and the taste of it is just like I had it with like a shiitake mushroom, like feta cheese type
Ooh.
Thing, and it was just. Oh, and I felt so. This was the night of the Rangers losing Game 5 to the Senators. My buddy's a Ranger fan, so he's watching it on his phone. And like, I'm super high at this point. I'm really high. And
you mean altitude? Because it's
no.
Oh,
no, I did a lot of drugs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the waiter comes over, and my buddies are always my one friend Jeff has to always ask the waiter, "What do you recommend?" Like, what do you mean? What do you? You're a 39 year old man. You know what everything on the menu stands for. Pizza tastes like pizza.
And I never trust it either. Like, a waiter's job is not to cater to your taste buds.
I know.
It's to upsell you and
yes.
move product they need to. I don't trust them.
He doesn't know what you like and don't like.
Yeah. And also, he has a complete ulterior motive.
Right.
It's like, oh, what do you recommend? He's in the back of his mind, he's thinking, well, we didn't sell any fucking pork chops
exactly.
today. So how about a pork chop?
And so, but like, I was so high, he was like, my favorite thing here is the shiitake mushroom pizza. And I was like, yeah. I felt like some sort of win at that point. I'm like, I knew it. I picked the one thing on the menu this stranger loves.
Okay, that's a different portion of the dinner waiter game, because you're right. There have definitely been times when I've been at dinner and I'm like, this shit right here, this short rib,
yeah,
whatever the fuck,
right.
This is the best thing on the menu. And someone you're there is like, I don't know, mac and cheese looks pretty good. And then the waiter comes over, and then all of a sudden they become the arbitrator.
Right.
It's like, well, what do you recommend? Like. Well, gotta tell you, a lot of people just come here for the short rib, whatever. You're just like, yeah, I told you.
I read the description of the food and I knew it was the best tasting thing on the menu. Owned.
I didn't even have to Yelp it. I just knew what people liked.
And then like they bring your food to the table and everyone just looks at your food and they're just like, oh, I wish I got that. And you're like, yeah, I told you 20 minutes ago, Bob.
Bob? I was in... Bob.
I don't have a friend named Bob.
Not good, Bob. There's my Pete Campbell. or not great, Bob. There's a line. I was in D.C. for the Capital Series, and real briefly, my culinary adventures, I went to Hank's Oyster Bar, which is one of my favorite restaurants in D.C. I used to go to it all the time when I lived in Alexandria. They have one in DuPont Circle. So I went to that as my sort of pregame meal before Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Little beer, little oysters.
Mm, beer.
It was 4:30 in the afternoon, and a guy who was dressed like he came from his corporate job, like not corporate, but like maybe he works for like a software company.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently had been day drinking, nice. Walked into the place,
nice.
And was maybe the most annoying fucking guy I've ever come across at a bar.
He's by himself. Oh, that's sad. Day drinking alone is kind of sad.
He was drinking alone. He was by himself. He sits down. He's trying to relate to the bartender. And there's like some song on. It's like a Hozier song or something, right?
Is it a dude or like a hot chick?
No, it's a dude. Oh. And he's trying to relate to dude. He's okay. He's like, do you know what this song is? and the guy's like, I don't know. I'm not familiar with it. He's like, I wanted to ask you because maybe you knew what the song is, but I probably could just Shazam it. And then they give him the menu. And of course, it's like 4:30 in the afternoon. They're not serving dinner yet. It's a bar menu. It's like a sort of a in between lunch and dinner menu. He's like, ah, the Caesar salad. And dude's like, that's if you look on the other side of the menu, that's actually our late night menu you're looking at right now. Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Well, there's no Caesar salad on the bar menu. Yeah, that's because we only do it like a certain portions of the day. Ah, fuck it. I'll have mac and cheese. And then the last thing was, like, completely out of the blue, we're all just sitting there, me and him and one other guy. We're all eating our meals. We're all in a nice place. It's quiet.
He farted.
No. Do you have any diet, Dr. Pepper? No. Like, what a random fucking thing to ask.
So do you think
that's not even on any regulation soda tap? It's will also not have diet Dr. Pepper.
But it's also not a thing you want at any point while you're day drinking in general, or done drinking. Like, if you're done drinking, you don't ask for soda. You're like, can I get a water? Can I get like an iced tea? Like, something that's not carbonated? A diet Dr. Pepper?
But maybe he was drinking to that point where there's, like, a legit craving. Like, when I used to drink enough to be like, the only thing that will make me feel better right now is a Taco Bell bean burrito or something.
Maybe if he mixed it with, like, rum, that'd be pretty good. Dr. Pepper and rum.
All right,
I would do that.
Let's get to D.C.
DC.
I was in D.C. for Game 7.
So Batman versus Superman is one of the worst
Dawn
movies.
Oh, Dawn of Justice. Absolutely. What did you say? Why did you say that name?
Must save Martha.
Must save Backstrom.
All right. As we're taping this podcast up, we apologize for being a day late, but we didn't feel like there was any reason to do it before the games 7 were done.
We're not technically a day late. This will go up tonight, right?
Yeah, that's true. But like, people are used to getting up really early in the morning.
Right.
Like all of our European listeners, I wake up at 7 in the morning on Thursday, I get so excited because they're all like, oh my God, that bit was amazing. I'm like, people have already consumed our product? That's because they're in like fucking Belgium.
And meanwhile, like, we knew like 2 days in advance we were doing this later. And at like 11 a.m. today, I was like, oh, we probably should have let people know.
You know,
because that would be nice.
I was in D.C. for the funeral last night, as we taped this on Thursday, for the Caps and Penguins. And I got to tell you, man, like, I had a theory. I had a theory before this game, and I was right. And my theory was this.
You were right in your analysis.
I was right. I was right in your analysis.
You're in puck stupid analysis.
Yeah. My theory was that the Capitals, as I wrote on Puck Daddy earlier this week, stared death in the face. Mm-hmm. They looked into the abyss after Game 4, after failing to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins without Chris Letang and Sidney Crosby and, I believe, Trevor Daly.
That was Game 4, too. Yeah. That was one of the first 3 games of the series. That was a winnable Game 4.
That was a winnable
right?
game. Mm-hmm. So they didn't win that game, and then they said, all right, we're fucked. We're not going to win this series. And at some point in Game 5, before the third period, they're like, you know what? We got nothing to lose. We've lost the series already. We're just gonna have fun. Go have fun out there, in the words of Pierre Maguire. And then a funny thing happened. Mm-hmm. They got really good. They stopped being playoff nervy and super conservative and gripping the stick. They stopped worrying about being too fancy. They just decided to beat the hell out of the Penguins and be smarter with the puck, be patient, stop trying to throw everything on net against Fleury and actually pick some spots. Mm-hmm. And they won 2 games. And then in Game 7, they come back home. Yeah, pucker, 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 sphincter, 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 shrinky, shrinky, shrinky.
So sad. But like, it didn't start until they scored. The first 10 minutes, the Penguins were getting run over.
Oh, in the first period, I thought the Capitals had thing. That the first period of that game felt like a coronation.
Yeah.
It really felt like they were just waiting for it to happen. But then I talked to Alzner about this after the game, Carl Alzner of the Capitals. And the word I would use about Washington is this, and I think it best describes why they get this way in these games. They feel entitled. They feel no.
Yeah.
Let me put it in exact terms.
No, I want to cut you off. I'm waking and good.
Thank you. They feel entitled because when they have a period like that where they just pepper the goalie, they feel like, okay, well, we got to get a goal at some point, right? Like, we're doing all the things right, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't, and then the other team scores. And then they get boo-boo faced.
Mm.
And that's from the horse's mouth.
I was doing the Capitals impression.
Oh, okay. That's what happens. So in the first 2 games of the series, that's exactly what happened. Fleury stood on his head in the first period. The Capitals carried play. And then the Penguins get ahead. And the Caps are chasing the game the entire time. And then they get frustrated. Where's our dinner? We did everything right. And then the whole thing falls apart. And I knew that I didn't know it was going to happen. I really believed in my heart of hearts it was going to be different this time, which, of course, is the definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
But I really felt there was a chance that it could play out the way it did, which is that they go into Game 7. Now, all of a sudden, they're something to play for. Now they can see the finish line. Now they're one win away from exercising the demon and getting getting farther in the playoffs than Ovechkin's ever gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And they get pucker, pucker, sphincter, sphincter, and then they lose in the same manner in which they lost the first 2 games.
Yep.
Now, the first 2 games of the series, I understand, courtesy of Nick Backstrom.
First three games.
The reason they lost the series. And you can't stand this for some reason.
I read that quote. So for a long time, there was either one of 2 things. Caps just kept running into a hot goalie, weren't getting bounces, bad luck, that sort of thing. That's why they were losing. Or they were choky chokersons who sphinctered up every single time things got tough. I tended to lean more towards the bad luck. Yeah, there's a little bit of that gripping the stick too tight stuff. But I sided more with, you know, getting hulked, you know, running into Sidney Crosby, that sort of thing.
Right.
I read that quote, and it was just like a light went on. Like, they made up their minds that they had lost the series already.
Right.
And it's one thing to go into a Game 7 and not – they were the favorites to win that game. They're on home ice. They steamrolled in the last 2 games. And to have that in the back of your head when something goes wrong, well, woe is us, we already lost the series anyway, is the worst possible mental state you could be in a Game 7 when you're down a goal. It's because you've already resigned yourself to it. And that is like when people choke, they think, oh, you know, a guy missed a free throw or, you know, missed a field goal.
Wide right, yeah.
This is what it is in your head, you're already defeated.
Right.
And to have him say it like that where it was over after the first 3 games when you played Game 4 without Sidney Crosby and you won Game 5 and 6 and you're at home for Game 7. It's fucking like, if I'm a Caps fan, like I'm just a dude who picked them in the cup and I'm annoyed. If I'm a Caps fan who has invested money and time and emotion into this, to find out Nick Backstrom was already giving up at 1-0 essentially.
Yeah.
And at 2-0, forget it. I mean, but first of all, when it got to 2-0, the Caps didn't do anything after that.
That's
when score effects kick in and you just start, you know, barreling them over. And
no,
the last 3 minutes,
no.
They must have got 2 zone entries without hoping it.
Because they knew. They knew they couldn't get two against them.
They knew it. Can you imagine being so defeated in your head that you feel like you can't score two goals in 16 minutes against Marc-Andre Fleury? That's insane.
Not only against Marc-Andre Fleury, but against a defense where, like, fucking Brian Dumoulin, who couldn't even stand on his skates last night, was playing like 20 minutes.
This is a place where you scored like 5 goals a game for like 6 or 7 straight games in the regular season. You don't think you can muster two? And then Barry Trotz, by the way. Everything goes on Ovechkin, a guy who should have scored a goal, and then Marc-Andre Fleury makes the luckiest shaft save ever.
And then jerks off his stick.
I mean, you have to at that point.
It
really
does. It's the greatest thing ever.
But like Barry Trotz for 2 games is like Alex Ovechkin, third line guy. Works out perfectly, right? What do they do in the third period down a goal? They start double shifting Alex Ovechkin when the top line with, you know, Burakovsky and Oshie and Backstrom was murdering the Penguins. Why would you want to break that up at that point? Why would you want to get away from what was working for basically 2.5 games to get Alex Ovechkin, who's apparently playing so hurt he's getting injections? You want to have him out there?
Yeah.
He looked done.
Like, Trotz really stuck his neck out on that.
But I'm bummed.
Because he doesn't.
I get it.
Because it's just a torso and then. Like a head.
He's Ram Man. Only Ram Man actually.
Did
got
you
the
have
job
done. He-Man toys when you were?
Oh
Ram-Man?
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
Ram Man was the one where you push down,
mm-hmm.
and you could press a button, and he'd shot up.
Right, and he would just go head first.
But you know who my favorite He-Man toy was?
She-Ra.
Oh, shut! You're such an asshole.
I love She-Ra.
Granted, I used to enact her battles with the Horde, but
mm-hmm.
No, it was Manny Faces.
Who's that?
So Manny Faces was the guy with the He-Man. Body template, except he had almost like a lantern on his head. And the deal was he had a little thing that spun around, a little wheel on top of his head.
Like Good Cop, Bad Cop in the Lego
like
movie?
Good Cop, Bad Cop, except it's not just Good Cop, Bad Cop. There's like a third face. It's like a normal face and then another face and then like a monster face.
Isn't this like Manos, Fate of Faces of God?
Oh, no, you know what it was? It was a dude with like a mask, because, you know, when you're wearing an upside down lantern on your head, you really have to be incognito about who you actually are. So you wear a little mask, It spins and you become Robot Face.
And his name was Man?
Man-E Faces. But then it spins again and you become Monster Face.
Like Man, E, the initial E, and then Faces.
Yeah, here are the faces right here.
That's a Garbage Pail Kid name. Man-E Faces. That's not a He-Man character.
I was so disappointed as a kid when the only Greg they came up with was Greaser Greg. It was like a guy who looked like Fonzie. He had a knife and a comb and some shit.
Yeah, but what was the other one? There was always the two.
Well, I don't know what the other Greg was.
There was always like that one that coincided. I don't remember
but
what
I remember
was.
I remember being like really horribly jealous of my friend Adam because he was Adam Bomb. He was like the poster child Garbage Pail Kid of the toddler pressing the red button and his head explodes into a nuclear Armageddon.
I think mine was diaper-based. I think I was
Diaper Dave?
I think I was Diaper Dave. Here.
That's probably accurate.
I'll look it up while we talk about hockey.
So let me talk about Ovechkin, because you touched on the injury. He's not going to Worlds. Apparently the word is that he has a lower body injury. He's been taking injections. The speculation last night after the game was that it might have been an injury related to the Kadri hit in the first round, in which Nazem Kadri, as you know, laid out, according to the Toronto media, a perfectly executed hip check on Alex Ovechkin and by no means went too low on him. And there was also speculation that maybe it was a lingering injury from the regular season, because I don't know if you noticed, but a guy who scores 50 goals nearly every year, he's alive,
mm-hmm.
only had 33 this year.
And he looked slow at times.
He didn't have any propulsion, explosion in his skating. Now, and I think if you really wanted to be, this will all probably come out by the time you hear this, because their getaway day is on Friday. But if you really wanted to be conspiratorial about it.
Conspiratorial.
Maybe the nice. Move to the third line is related to this guy's hurt. I know he's going to be a drag on my two other great offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Barakovsky's been our best forward in the series. I'll bump him up and move hurt guy down with two guys that aren't going to do fucking fuck all offensively.
But then why double shift him that way in the third period?
I guess out
then?
Of desperation.
But like,
you know?
But like that top line score, obviously, but it was kicking ass though.
But it's so funny because, like, you know, Trotz has that quote in the post game about like, I'm not emotionally prepared to talk about Ovechkin. And that could easily mean I feel so sorry for this guy because this was his best shot at winning a cup and he got hurt in the previous round and I feel so bad for him. But everybody immediately went to, he's going to be fired because he's mad at him. And
really?
Ovechkin, that's where people went last night. It was crazy. Or maybe just one Russian guy.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But So what do you do now if you're the Caps? Like, you brought in Barry Trotz essentially for this 2-year, 3-year window, and weirdly enough, the coach that's never been to the third round couldn't get to the third round with the team that can't get to the third round.
Can I tell you what I would do?
What would you do?
Nothing.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Why not? Well, you're going to have to do something because
you have no
Oshie, Shattenkirk, Alsner, Justin Williams all are free agents. You have to re-sign Orlov and re-sign Kuznetsov, who are restricted.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose Grubauer probably in the expansion draft. There's some speculation there that that'll happen.
I don't know. Everyone thinks they're going to lose their backup goalie in the expansion draft. Every backup goalie, everyone's like, oh, you're going to lose him.
Grubauer's really good, though, and I'd be surprised if George doesn't take him.
Oh, he would be good to take for sure, but I mean, you don't know. But,
you don't blow up the – here's the thing that I've come to realize about this
team. Why don't
you?
Why?
I'll tell you why. They went to a Game 7 – against the Penguins.
Uh-huh.
And they lost.
Yeah.
The previous year, they went to a Game 6 against the Penguins, and they lost. Both of those series were second-round series, meaning that they did beat another team before losing to the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
The Penguins are...
going to be better next year.
Sure, but... Okay, but listen. The Penguins are just the Patriots. They're just the Patriots and the Capitals are the AFC.
Don't be a dick. They're not the Patriots. That's fucked up.
But, in my comparison, I'm trying to tell you, is that... sometimes there's just a team that you can't get over, and the only thing you can hope is that someone maybe takes them out for you.
That's no way to go into a season.
But what else could you possibly do? They already went into this season making moves to address the problems they had against the Penguins. The Shattenkirk deal was to get depth on defense. The other moves they made in the bottom six was to – because the bottom six didn't play well against the Penguins, and they still lost. You're saying, but what does blow it up mean? Trade Ovechkin?
Yes. Yes.
For what?
Anything. You can trade him. If you can trade Shea Weber's contract, you can trade Phil Kessel, you can trade Alex Ovechkin for the 4 years and 9.5 per year on it, for sure.
But why?
What do you mean why? Because this is not working.
What would all of a sudden start working if you traded Alex Ovechkin? Who, by the way, and I know this, has not been the reason they've failed all these years.
No question about that.
So what changes?
By the way, Braden Holtby is the reason why they lost that series. let's not kid ourselves. Like Marc-Andre Fleury stole four games.
Marc-Andre Fleury might be the reason they lost that series.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't say a goalie stole a series when he had like a 925 over seven games. Like, he was beatable at times.
Let me proffer this.
There.
Okay. Mm. If your justification for trading Alex Ovechkin...
Everybody. I would trade everybody.
Okay, but let's just focus on Ovechkin.
I would do Gary Oldman in the professional. Trade me everyone. Everyone?
Everyone?
Everyone! And then I'd get blown up by Jean Reno, and it would be awesome.
Spoilers. for the movie that came out when Natalie Portman was 9.
Natalie Portman's dead the whole time in the movie. She's a ghost. Like Ben Affleck.
Let me ask you this, though. Because, like...
Yeah.
If you're saying that the trade of Ovechkin is not performance based, it is a you got to do something based, right?
I mean, it also might be this might be the beginning of the
it
end.
It could
too.
Be, but it may not be.
But
it's hard to judge that when a guy might need surgery.
You have to do something. Like, think about.
Okay, but wait a second. Weren't you someone who absolutely filleted the Montreal Canadiens for doing the exact thing that you were advocating for, which is trade a guy because you got to do something. He could be a problem of some sort. I don't know. Change the mix.
It's more the Taylor Hall trade where you just have to do something.
But that was a trade because you needed you needed that defenseman.
But to be fair, they got the right-handed Swedish Bobby Orr in that deal, so they had
right.
to pull
you
that
had
off.
Had to do it. No, it's the two-man trade is just like this. It's like
he's
it's
the
like,
Shea Weber side.
Things aren't working, so let's trade this guy because maybe he's the problem?
No, that's not why they traded him. They traded him because they're fucking stupid. They traded a guy at the peak of his powers. Is probably going to go to the Stanley. By the way, I really, really want PK Subban and Erik Karlsson on the Stanley Cup final.
That'd be something.
Just so
it?
One of those guys could get a cup and just fuck off Mike Milbury. But think about the big trades that have been made in recent years. Taylor Hall for Adam Larson.
Mm-hmm.
We can all agree the Devils got the better player in that deal. But Edmonton, Connor McDavid, and they did a bunch of other stuff too. But sometimes you got to make a trade for a trade's sake. Phil Kessel. How do you trade him? You know, they didn't get a fair value back. Toronto worked out okay for them. Shea Weber has got a contract that's kind of similar to Ovechkin's in terms of how much money it is. they found a way to get P.K. Subban back. If you can get P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, you can get something for Alex Ovechkin when he has a much more agreeable contract than Shea Weber.
But that would be an indication you don't believe the window is open for this team anymore.
It's not.
How is it not?
How is it
they
open?
They just won a President's Trophy, and they lost in a Game 7.
They can't win in the playoffs.
They can't beat the Penguins in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They beat the Leafs in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they beat the Flyers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they can't beat the Penguins in the playoffs. The idea that you're going to blow up a team because you can't get past one team is asinine.
The idea that they're not going to be the Penguins at some point in the next couple of years is asinine.
Well, I mean, your point's well taken.
No, but further questions.
But isn't this a San Jose Sharks problem? Like, isn't this like in their case they couldn't do anything because of the contracts, but they didn't do anything, and then they went up in the Cup final.
Yeah, but I mean, they kept it together by accident.
Right, but that I completely agree with you. But it's the same principle, which is that everybody's like, this ain't ever going to work. You got to trade Patrick Marleau. He don't got no guts. Look, it opened his chest. No guts.
But it's not about like Alex Ovechkin not having guts or Nick Backstrom. Boy, that fucking quote.
But you know,
I'm going to think about that quote for the entire offseason.
I got to tell you, he was pissed off last night, and rightfully so.
About what?
About them losing. He had a good series. Like, he had a good playoff.
He had a dog shit game 7.
Who didn't have a dog shit game 7?
Andrei Burakovsky.
TJ Oshie.
Like, TJ Oshie, that play where the puck is bouncing is a tough angle and the puck's bouncing, but like, oh my God.
To answer your question, they bring back Oshie. I think they should bring back Oshie. I think he's really good. I know there's some talk about like him getting a lot of money on the open market, but I think he's a really good top-line player for them.
Yeah.
Not the problem, TJ Oshie.
I just don't know how you can... How do you sell it to the fans? How do you sell the fans we're going to go back again with the same team? Like, you have to be just fucking disgusted.
Well, that's
as a
good, that's a good point about the fans, because I think the fans
Are you segueing into an ad or a YouTube video?
I think the fans are starting to turn their tide. Here is something on YouTube that we found called Burning Ovechkin Jersey After 2017 Second Round Game 7 Parentheses Rock the Red is Dead. I believe this is a Fall Out Boy song title.
I feel like it's a New York Times headline. It's like 45 words.
All right, here we go. Here is Burning Ovechkin Jersey. Yeah, you heard it already.
Listen to the accents, too, in the video.
This is the end of the Rock the Red era. Fuck Ovechkin. Fuck the Caps. And kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
Sprite all, dude.
What are they spraying on there, anyway?
I think it's some sort of an maybe it's like a paint thinner or something.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, now light it.
Light it.
Light it up.
This is the part in which they are about to light the Ovechkin jersey.
It's in pitch black darkness.
Yeah. I would imagine there is probably some level of alcohol involved at this point.
Yeah, these guys are lucky they didn't fucking...
Whoa,
look at, like,
that thing went up pretty fast.
Like, because they sprayed too much shit on it. Like, you can't see this right now, you can go watch it later, but picture like an episode of Game of Thrones where all of a sudden like Melisandre lights something on fire out of the darkness. That's what this is.
Right quick.
I mean, but you think this is going to be the norm? You think everybody's going to be, like, burning their jerseys and stuff if they don't make significant changes?
Why doesn't anybody burn a Braden Holtby jersey? I just don't... It boggles my mind that Alex Ovechkin gets... I mean, he made two horrible plays in Game 7 that led to the goals, but
yeah.
he hits the shaft of Fleury's stick. It's a lucky... If you've never played hockey, you've never played goalie, no one ever tries to make a save with the knob of their stick. It just happens
by
accident.
No, it just happens, yeah.
Backstrom had the puck at one point where he could have just chipped it right away, and he drags it behind the goal line. Braden Holtby, I know you don't think that second goal is him, but I thought
he was screened pretty poor. I mean, to me, the problem on that play is the turnover by Ovechkin. Yeah.
But like, I mean, stop that puck. Like,
yeah.
He's Braden Holtby's one of those dudes who like has no fucking pulse rate during games. He's so calm. And I wonder if that like backfires on him sometimes because like he's so casual. Like I feel like he's so confident that everything's going to hit him. Like his glove was not where it should have been on that shot. And it was because he didn't see it take off the stick. I get it. But him, Backstrom, I don't know what you do.
You stay the course. You try it again next year. You hope that maybe the Penguins aren't there in the second round. You can go past them. Maybe the Rangers aren't there either.
I know. That's what I mean. Like who are they going to get in the second round next year where it's going to be like...
And look.
There's no... Like,
I completely... I don't think the answer is trade Ovi. And I also think that it is a very...
I think
that is a leap of faith that the owner who considers him to be a son...
Oh, yeah, I know.
...is going to trade that guy.
We should read the tweets. Not all 18.
Oh, we'll do that in a second. But I think also the other thing, though, is that...
Oh,
like,
here comes a segue.
No, it's not a segue yet.
Oh, I thought you were doing the segue.
No, I just think that, like... look, here's how fucked this team is.
How fucked is it?
It's so fucked that Alex Ovechkin put a blank in his helmet. Doom, 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 doom.
Dick is the
doom,
answer, doom, obviously, doom, right? Because Dick's fuck.
I said Vladimir Putin. Oh, Charles Nelson Reilly. Here's how fucked they are. Justin Williams was 7-0 in game sevens.
Right. Not even Justin Williams. Like, now Matt Cullen is Mr. Game 7. He's 6-0. He probably has, like, 2 goals in those 6 games, but...
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine? Could you imagine being the person who finds a four-leaf clover and then a piano falls on you?
You're just like, wow, my life is going to boom.
That's trading for Justin Williams. The entirety of that contract was...
This moment.
Hey, guys, you know how we can't win Game 7s? Boy, do I have a player to show you.
It turns out they call him Mr. Game 7.
What?
So, and it turns out he wins them all. By the way, another thing about that game, too, early on when they were dominating, Tom Wilson had a chance to shoot the puck, and he was coming down the left wing, and he passed it off. Like, it seemed like there was a lot of dudes that didn't want to be in the moment.
Yeah. Because it got real.
No,
this
was before it got real.
It's not being, hey, you know, we're not playing for anything. Happy go lucky, blah, blah. And like, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, we mean if we beat the Penguins, we go to the third round? And as you said, you can put a fucking piece of coal up there and end up with a diamond.
2 weeks, you'll have a diamond. But it's just such a culture thing. You have to. It's, again, I remember like 2-3 years ago I wrote they should trade Ovechkin, but it wasn't like Ovechkin's fault. You just need a culture change. And reading those quotes and seeing how they played that game, you need to do something.
What I come back to this. What are you getting for him? Who was making that trade?
What do you mean? You got P.K. Subban for Shea Weber. You can get something for Alex Ovechkin.
But what do you want?
Anything.
Let's just say anything.
80 cents on the dollar for Ovechkin. Pick a guy. Pick a Matt Duchene.
P.K. Subban was in his prime. And Shea Weber... is a guy that does not have the reputation of being someone who disappears or is a coach killer or anything.
Well, because he's Canadian,
right? Like, but you know what I'm saying? I'm saying to you, this point, like the idea that the Ovechkin trade is good.
Someone took Phil Kessel. He has the same reputation as Ovechkin. It's weird. Like if you go to every single of these last three big trades, the Kessel trade, the Hall trade, and the Weber trade, like Ovechkin has like a little bit of all three of those trades in him. He's the winger who doesn't win. He's the older guy with the big contract, and he's on a team where they just have to do something different. You can get something for Ovechkin, even if it's 70 cents on the dollar, just something different. Because also, too, whatever you get for him, you're going to free up cap space.
Ready?
You got that shit-eating grin on your face. What is it?
Ovechkin for Taylor Hall.
Why would Devils do that? Devils love Taylor Hall.
Oh, because you have to get people in the building.
I don't know, man. I don't think that building is ever going to be packed. You could have Ovechkin and Taylor Hall.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Ovechkin on the Islanders. Now we're talking.
Who are they going to give up for him?
Any number of those shitty prospects that are never going to amount to anything, but you can ship them in a trade for a guy like Ovechkin.
I'm trying to think of a team that was bad last year. How about...
Uh-oh, now you got that look.
Oliver,
like that, aha, I figured it out.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Alex Ovechkin in Arizona.
Why not?
I think it's a perfect spot because you'd never have to worry about him choking in the playoffs.
Because the air is so...
not because of the air.
Because they suck. Because they're not a good hockey team.
Oh, gee whiz. This is so exciting. You're my favorite player as a kid.
You're general manager?
I do not understand. I beat up a person look like you in chess club in high school.
I used you in NHL 12 when I was in college.
Who are you?
I do not understand. Is your dad here to talk to GM? I do not know who you are.
I do not have time for autographs.
sir, this is your new contract.
What?
New contract? Did you run this by Russia? Did Kremlin give okay for this?
We'll get to that in a second, too. You know what? This whole thing is exhausting. And when I'm exhausted, you know what I do?
You're waiting for it.
What do you do?
I'll tell you what I do. I go to our friends, helixsleep.com. Now, Helix. Here's the thing, Dave Lozo.
What is the thing?
Everybody's unique. They do their own thing. They don't walk like everybody else or talk like everybody else or sleep like anyone else. So why is your mattress one size fits all like pants?
Wait, that's not what pants are.
Well, if you get them off the rack, they are. If you get them tailored, they...
Well, I mean,
Oh, you can get different waist sizes.
Yeah, and lengths and stuff.
All right, so pants are a bad example. Why is it one size fits all, like t-shirts at a hockey game that you get on your seat when you get there?
Underwear. Oh, that's better.
No,
underwear.
But that's also, like, you can get different sizes.
Right, t-shirts, they just drop the same size on all
right,
the
Right, especially
chairs.
If they drop them from that blimp during the game.
I can't believe the Rangers became a blimp team this year.
Truly customized mattresses will cost you $5,000 to $10,000 until now. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and they will run a 3D biomechanical model of your body through the proprietary algorithms they developed with the help of the world's leading ergonomics and biomechanics experts.
Why is John Chayka doing the ad?
Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality, and for couples, they customize each side of the mattress for you.
I wonder if you can get the mattress, like, different heights. Like, you roll over in the middle of the night and you, like, go down a hill and, like, crush your significant other. Like, how custom can I get the mattress?
My side of the mattress would be, like, completely, like, sunken in. Like almost like a sarcophagus.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I like firm. I like a nice firm mattress. But I'm thinking, like, maybe you can get it designed like Kramer's apartment with levels. You can probably, like, do some good, like, sexual positioning stuff that way.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
You know.
He's stroking his stick in celebration.
It seems as though the shaft of the stick is really getting swollen. The knob is popped off completely.
It's a flurry of activity on Marc-Andre's stick.
I haven't seen anybody stroke something that thin since Jim Leland's cigarette in 1988.
Doc and Eddie, he struck it off his stick.
Doc and Eddie, Marc-Andre Fleury did this in the QMJHL in 1992 when he caused his stick to orgasm all over the Memorial Cup. Thanks, Helix.
Doc and Eddie, he struck it off his stick.
I'm looking at the Preakness Fields. Can't really talk about this right now, Pierre.
I got swollen shaft exacta with the... with the flicked frenulum superfecta.
Here's the best thing about Helix. You have 100 nights to try it out. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up for you for free.
What if you live somewhere where there's no night? How does that work?
You mean like Alaska? Yeah, like in Insomnia?
Like in the Insomnia.
Al Pacino. Almost,
but like you can also do that movie with zombies or the vampires or whatever.
Oh,
with,
30 days and 30 nights? Or was that the one where...
That's the one where he can't drink it.
He can't
crank
have
it.
Sex.
Is it sex or cranking it? I thought it was cranking it.
No, I think it's like any... No, it's sex and... Maybe it's anything. Maybe you can't...
I haven't seen it.
But which one's the one with the zombie vampires?
There's one where he's it's like the same sort of thing. Like he's in a town where like the sun sets.
But it's also Josh Hartnett, right?
Mm-hmm. Hartnett.
He can't jerk off on the vampires.
Right. Because
for 30 days.
Because his semen has the ability to like melt them. It's like holy water shoots out.
He just eats a lot of garlic.
Yeah. But like he can't. It's a weird thing where like if he jerks off, he's going to go to hell. Right. So he's kind of conflicted. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Kill a beast from hell or go to hell through the only means of killing that beast. What a Twilight Zone level conundrum that would be.
We really stumbled into a good movie idea.
If you don't like the mattress, they'll give you a full refund and pick it up for free, no questions asked. Go to helixsleep.com/pucksoup and get $50 off your offer. That's helixsleep.com/pucksoup. helixsleep.com/pucksoup. As you know, you may have seen a Twitter rant by a gentleman by the name of Slava Malamud, who is someone who really doesn't like the Washington Capitals organization.
He fucking hates. I don't really know the guy too well. I just see him on Twitter now and again. So he's Russian, so I just assume he loves Alex Ovechkin because I'm xenophobic. I don't know what that is. I had no idea. Like, I think Frank Saravelli, like, tweeted it. It was like, you got to read this. First of all, by the way, I'm muting the word thread on Twitter. I don't give a shit what your thread
is
about.
Well, that's just it. Like, here's the thing. A lot of people don't know Slava and don't know he's batshit.
Apparently.
But, like...
Oh, my God.
It just goes to show you that Russian guy commenting on Ovechkin and a guy doing a thread, the combination of those two things made people think that he's a pundit.
Like, he's doing radio today. But, like, I've read two threads, I think, in my entire life. One was, they were both, like, war-related. Like, one was a guy who got accused by Trump or something of, like, stealing money while he was in Iraq or some shit like that.
Didn't you read that games theory one? All right,
no.
Now it's time for a little bit of game theory.
No, everyone references that on a thread. Someone's like, I don't know what that means. I don't care. And the other one was, like, a guy who had, like, a translator in Iraq or Afghanistan, and, like, he bumped into him in a cab, like, years later in the States, and they got out of the cab and hugged. It was great. I don't want to hear, here's 19 tweets about how to get Trump out of a, I don't care. I'm not fucking reading that. But this one, it got retweeted so many times, I had to read it.
Let me read it real quick.
It's crazy.
Caps problems extend beyond a bad defensive pair and an underperforming goalie. The failure is endemic and systemic, and it's the result of Choice's fanboy owner Leonsis made in 2004 when he decided his business model would not be building a winner but servicing a marketable megastar.
Now, by servicing...
And by 2004, he means before Ovechkin had even played a game in the league.
Yeah. But yeah.
There's nothing wrong with building a team around a star, but it has to be the right kind of star. Ovi just isn't the win-first type. I've known Ovi since he was 17. Kid was born with a silverware set in his mouth. Boy, that's beyond. Does that include, like, the big spoon that you use for stuffing?
Yeah, like the salad fork. You get everything in there, and you just cram it into your grill because you're so rich.
Now, does that include... Like the one for pieces of pie.
Yeah. Oh, the little
cake.
Butter knife, steak knife, salad fork, the chilled spoon as well. You get all that in there. By the way, if you've known him since he was 17, how do you know if he was born with stuff in his mouth? You're 17 years.
He just carried it. It was still in his mouth.
It was just literally.
Yeah,
still
he
in
would
his
just
mouth.
Still have it in his mouth.
Like his parents would show him baby photos. Here's baby Alex with I don't know why the mom or dad is Doc Emrick. Oh my! Look at all the silverware in my boy's mouth.
His demands on himself stay the same. He's not the bloodied, inspirational leader. He's the tussle hair, sexy, charismatic ruffian.
I'll tell you right now, I've followed Alex Ovechkin's pretty much entire career. I have never once thought of him as a sexy, charismatic ruffian.
I could see charismatic, but sexy, I don't know.
I mean, to each their own.
Yeah.
But I've never once been like, you know what the problem with the Capitals is? What is it, Dave? You know how Taves has rugged good looks? Yeah. You know how like Erik Karlsson has beauty? Like he's like very just beautiful with his Yeah. I don't think the sexy ruffian thing works for Ovechkin. I think that's hurting the Caps. Do you have a credential to be in here, sir? Right. Like what does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of chicks really dug Jaws from the James Bond films.
I mean, again, you bang whatever you want to bang, find attractive whatever you find attractive. So, I've never once thought, like, boy, Alex Ovechkin is just, he doesn't have the right look for the Capitals.
Back to Slava. Yes, he's the NHL's favorite stripper.
Oh, yeah, this is
who's
great.
Who's been giving the hockey world a lap dance for 13 years. Sorry, but the length of your erection, hockey world, is unhealthy by now.
Okay, first of all, if I'm getting a lap dance for 13 years... I've ejaculated at least 7 times.
And also, he's not talking about length. He's talking about duration. That's always the thing that they say in the commercials. It's not the length of it. It's if you maintain an erection for more than several hours.
Right. It's not like a width length.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's not like Pinocchio's nose. Yeah. Where all of a sudden, it's like, oh no.
That's not how boners work. In case anyone's never
not
seen
how
one,
this works.
Because yeah, like if that was the case, that would you know you really couldn't do anything. In certain situations.
You need to face the truth. The Caps' personality cult culture is counterproductive to winning the Cup, fueled by innumerable fanboy blogs and media whipped into terrified subservience by Caps PR. By the way, I don't know if you could tell subtly, he has a feud with the team.
And okay, there are some pretty shitty PR groups in the NHL. Like when it was Nate who's still there and Sergei now, I have never, ever had an issue.
No.
Ever with those guys.
Where I will
I'm
agree,
a clown.
Where I will agree with Slava is I do think that when you think about how unsuccessful this team is.
You're blaming Russian Machine Never Breaks
blogspot.com? No, I'm like, talking about how like the Redskins get pilloried. And I don't think the Capitals necessarily get it the same way in that town.
Oh, I mean,
I'm just saying. The culture feeds on itself, kills all dissent.
But they win the President's Trophy every year. It's hard to kill a team that's good all the time.
And spurns all criticism. You know, Caps fans, that despite all the issues Oates and Hunter had, your main problem with them was trying to turn Ovi into a man of the system. Dale Hunter didn't know what the fuck to do with Ovechkin. And I don't know what he's talking about with Oates. Like, Oates helped resurrect Ovechkin's career by getting his power play points back.
I don't even know what that means to be a product.
You want your boy toy wild and free.
No, I don't. Stop telling me what I want.
Everybody wants this of Ovi, even Russian coaches. Compare this to Crosby. Here we go. Who will take any role on Canada without complaint. You call 87 a whiner, but who whined the loudest during the lockout, threatening to stay in the KHL? Oh, man, look at that fucking apple. Looks exactly like an orange. No, it doesn't. They're apples and oranges.
I'm going to call a 20-second or 30-second timeout here.
Please.
what role is Sidney Crosby being offered by Team Canada other than awesome number one center?
Yeah, is he confusing him with Jonathan Toews? And Toews is...
Or like Patrice Bergeron will play the wing for Canada? Like, Sidney Crosby, take any role. They're not asking him to play fourth line minutes. What does that mean?
It's like, Sid, we're going to need you to be a fourth line center. No, I think probably I'll be the first line guy with Marchand, if that's okay. Oh, or that. I mean, that's a good one, too.
Take any role, by the way. Also, Chris Kunitz came to the fucking Olympics because Crosby needed him.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury is still a Penguin because he's Sid's friend.
Oh, God.
Who whines now threatening to leave the league to get Olympic trinket while Leontis bends over backwards to satisfy all of his ridiculous demands? This is a guy who looks out for himself and his public image, wild and sexy rebel, patriot of the motherland, because he doesn't like Ovi's politics. That's the reason he's going in on him like this.
This is 18 tweets, by the way, and
we're on 14.
1/6 of them involve how sexy Alex Ovechkin is.
His only interest in the cup is how his reflection will look in it. I gotta call a 20-second for myself. That motherfucker wants to win worse than anything. That's why he goes to Worlds. It's just so you can win something. It's like being at the bar at 1 a.m. and getting rejected 25 times. Then you look over and there's someone who, like a woman that looks like you. You're just like, all right, whatever.
What do you say?
The problem is Leontis has the same priorities. Leontis he has dissolved himself and the team in Ovechkin's 13-year-long marketing campaign. It worked out great financially. They pay the price. The price to pay is being humiliated by every year by real winners. Congrats, Caps. You've sold a lot of T-shirts. Congrats, Caps fans. You've been had.
So how many times have they lost to the Rangers in the playoffs? Three?
Three, at least three.
Those winners who never fucking win anything.
And
the Rangers?
Also, like in game sevens. Oh, and that sound you just heard is your window of opportunity slamming shut. I hope this wild ride and the charisma train was fun. Rant out. Enjoy your Redskins minicamp.
By the way, charisma train is capitalized.
Also, I don't know why I all of a sudden became like a Jim Rome, Tommy Lanner type. I should have read that as that.
Rant out.
And the sound you heard is your window of opportunity slamming shut. I hope this wild ride of the charisma train was fun.
Enjoy your Redskins minicamp.
Rant out.
Back after this.
This is such... I can't believe this is actually getting the time of day because it is such a heaping pile of bullshit. Like, these aren't the LA Clippers of years past where they would try to just... Under that crazy racist where they tried to just maintain themselves and get the 8 seed and just be a little bit okay so they could be financially soluble and make some money and whatever. Like... The Capitals have tried a lot of different shit and spent a lot of money trying to figure out a way to win. I don't understand what the fuck the point of this rant is.
I don't know what you like. So
and why people are even buying into it.
The only hiccup I think the Caps have had is when they fired Boudreau and, you know, overreacted to the Canadian series.
But that was, again, that's not because like they're like. I know people look at that and say, well, he lost Alex and that's why he got fired. Well, no. I mean, like, they got fired because they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like losing Alex is a symptom of that.
But like when you've won three President's Trophies in, what is it, 8 years? Like you're not going to get the same criticism that the Redskins get. The Redskins are dog shit every fucking year. Like they go 9-7 now and people orgasm over Kirk Cousins. Like it's all about where the bar is set. And when you keep setting the bar at President's Trophy every year and you can't get out of the second round, again, it's never just one guy. Like Ovechkin had a bad game seven, but I mean, Jesus Christ, he scores 50 fucking goals.
We wanted to read this rant because it's batshit. Moving on to not Capital stuff.
So I'm going to take off then. I don't really care about anything else.
The Ottawa Senators are playing the Penguins in the Eastern Conference Final. The Senators eliminated the Rangers. You probably paid attention to this series more than I did. What was the deal?
I was on drugs for games 4 and 5.
Yeah, that's probably the best idea.
The
Rangers' defense finally just get exposed.
I mean, it was more Lundqvist stopped making all the saves after the Rangers' defense kept letting guys go by.
Right.
And when you have J.G. Pageau, I mean, you know,
what are you going to do?
You're going to have to give away at least one game every series against him.
So the Erik Karlsson party is now in the conference final. That's exciting. He's been ridiculous. I think there's like four distinct Conn Smythe guys right now. There's Fleury,
mm-hmm.
Karlsson,
mm-hmm.
Getzlaf,
mm-hmm.
and...
Rene?
I guess it's got to be Rene by default.
He's at 950.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading the league in save percentage. So I think those are your four guys right now.
Draisaitl is my fifth guy. He was fucking so good in the second round.
He was. But. You know, I tried to make the argument that Marian Gaborik, when he was with the Minnesota Wild 1 year, I think it was 2003, actually.
Oh, when he won that one game in overtime.
He deserved to win the Conn Smythe. I was trying to make the argument because I was being extraordinarily contrarian.
Hot take. Hot
Yeah, it was a total hot take that you didn't have to actually play in the Stanley Cup final in order to win the Conn Smythe. That, like, just by virtue of being the most valuable guy to your team for three rounds, you should be eligible to win it.
Well, J.S. Jaguar was good for three rounds, and he won the Conn Smythe in a losing effort.
Yes.
The worst part of the Ottawa Rangers series, let me tell you what it was. So you were mostly Pittsburgh, Washington. I mean, you did everything.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Washington was about Ovechkin. Crosby.
Malkin.
Concussions.
Yeah.
Fleury.
Concussion spotters.
I spent like 2 weeks listening to people talk about whether or not Tanner Glass was going to play.
And then I'm talking about Chris Neal's 2 minutes of paradise.
Chris Neal, this was a game I didn't see at all, but the whole game where he first played and cost a team a power play and fought a guy and sat in the penalty box and played 2 minutes. And then after the game, it was like, we won this game because of Chris Neal. This is why people don't watch hockey.
Right.
Like, you just had this insane comeback overtime win, and you're talking about a dude that played 2 fucking minutes. It's not good for the game. Oh, Tanner Glass. Oh, Tanner Glass roughed up Kyle Turris after the game. Oh, Chris Neal's coming. Erik Karlsson is, like, one of the best players maybe to ever play. One of the top 100 players ever, I would say.
Yeah, I would say. I would agree with that if you wanted to get that in a book called 100 Greatest Players in NHL History and Other Stuff.
And the conference finals. Conference finals features three of the top 100 players of all time.
The thing about the Chris Neal thing, I kind of felt like in seeing all those interviews with the Senators after the game that they were actually just having a go. Like,
you think so?
They walked out of the Phantom Menace and they're like, hey, what was your favorite thing about the Phantom Menace? I'm like, Watto.
You're having a laugh. You're taking the piss out of me. But, like, Chris Neal's there. Like, wouldn't that be mean to Chris Neal to do that to him while he's sitting in the locker room? But, yeah, we couldn't have won this without Chris Neal. Guys, I can hear you.
Guys, come on.
I'm right here.
Yeah, whatever, Chris. It was a great 2 minutes, buddy.
That's what she said.
Hello. Hi-yo. So, the Senator, what do you think about the Senators now being Canada's team? This happens every playoff.
I don't think that's a thing.
You don't think it is?
Every time I see someone tweet about that, they're always like, I don't give a shit
sarcastic.
If my favorite team doesn't win. Like, I'm a Canucks fan. I'm an Edmonton fan. Like, I'm not going to start rooting for a team that happens to share the same borders as my other team. Like, that's not a thing. Like,
Jason Brough, our good friend from NBC.
Brough.
Said, are the Senators Canada's team? No, they aren't. Nobody in Canada wants a Canadian team to win unless it's their team. We are petty people.
I agree. They're very petty people. Because anytime you mention Canada to the U.S., I got to hear about how U.S. has a lot of shootings.
Although, there's some dude here whose name is Andrew Cadell, who says, now we are all Sens fans. Canada's team. Hashtag go Sens go.
I think it's okay to jump on the Sens bandwagon if you hate the Penguins. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, just because they're a Canadian-based franchise, I'm trying to think.
I think the correct answer is this one from this dude, Adrian Lee. Who's this cat? Follows me. Mm. He's with McLean's.
McLean's. John McLean's?
Sad about the Oilers losing, but I'm still excited for the playoffs to continue so I can cheer on Canada's team, the Nashville Predators.
Yes! Boom! That's a well.
Yeah, Canada's team should be PK Subban.
Exactly.
Because everybody in Canada hates the Habs.
Oh, God, that's a good point.
I mean, nobody wants to really cheer for Ottawa, but everybody hates the Habs.
Ottawa?
Like, even fucking Montrealers hate the Habs at this point.
Like, if Ottawa had more of a fun style of play, it would be easier to... Like, they got up 2-0 in Game 6 against the Rangers in, like, the first period, and they just fucking throttled
back. That's a really good point.
Oh,
like, they're a hard
that.
Team to root for because of the style of play. Like, Karlsson is amazingly charismatic, but again, like, they have... In the root for them column, you have Erik Karlsson, get behind him, Craig Anderson without question... Where's Guy Boucher in the root for them, root against them column? I'd say Guy Boucher, the person, is in the root for them column. Guy Boucher's system is in the root against them column. Then you have Eugene Melnyk, who is maybe the entirety of the root against them column, being a terrible owner.
And after that, it's just...
Oh, and also in the root against them column is, if you're an American, you actually want people to give a shit about the Stanley Cup final. And the minute people see the word Ottawa...
Oh, yeah, no one's...
They're gone.
Dude, that NBC tweet this morning... Where they were like, Game 7 of Washington-Pittsburgh is up 96% over last year's second-round Game 7 between the Blues and the Stars. Like, yeah, of course! Why would that not have double the ratings in that game? What are you doing? If you're going to skew your numbers, get a little more creative than that.
Oh, man.
Who do you like in that series?
I'm taking the Penguins in 6. I was going to say 7, but I'll say 6. I just think that Ottawa is good enough to frustrate them a little bit and maybe eke out a couple 2-1 wins.
Yeah. I think Ottawa wins the series.
Now, why do you think Ottawa wins the series? Is it just because the Penguins are going to be so dog tired and beat up from this previous series?
I mean, they kind of got run over for seven games, and Marc-Andre Fleury won them four of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ottawa obviously doesn't have the same weapons as the Caps, but I just feel like that counterpunching thing is going to work well against the Penguins' defense. Mm-hmm. And Marc-Andre Fleury's kind of due for a little bit more of a regression. I think Craig Anderson's got room to play a little better. I like Erik Karlsson a lot. I just... And then again, first of all, by the way, I'm completely fucking terrible this postseason. I think I went 4-4 in the first round, and I had the Ducks, I had the Caps, I had the Rangers.
I didn't even check my picks lately.
I'm a coin flip at this point, but I just think Ottawa's got something going. You know what I mean? Like they're obviously not very talented, but they're just continuously finding ways to win. Also helps when Alain Vigneault doesn't know what he's doing. And now it's going to help that all these guys on the cap. Like, and seriously, like, I still think Sidney Crosby is just one mildly soft hit away from sitting out a bunch of games, too. So there's that. I just.
Do you have any thoughts on that, by the way? Or are you off the grid for all that spotter stuff?
No, I was back for that. Like, I think that might have been the first game I watched when I got back. I don't get how you can collectively bargain for concussion spotters and for the safety of the players, and you're just like, but if you go into the boards, that's fine. Wait, what? The boards are like the hardest thing out there.
And for those who don't know, the reason that that Crosby wasn't pulled from the game, according to the NHL, is the word boards doesn't exist in the criteria for the concussion spotters. Which is, again, like the lawyerly semantics of goalie interference calls applied to concussions.
This is what happens when you have lawyers running your league, is it's just they'll just find the little holes, they'll find a little room to kind of get away with murdering a guy, basically. Mm-hmm. And he got rocked Oshie rocked him last night in the third period, and he got up from that. So I don't buy the theory that, like, he was faking it.
No.
Just insane. But
Do you buy the theory that they rushed him back?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way you could have four concussions in your career and have the fourth one only last a day, and then you're playing again. And you didn't even need to play. You're up 3-1. Give them an extra day.
I like them in the series because I think that I'll take their skill over the Ottawa defense. I also think that as good as Anderson's been, he's not been great.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been really good in some spots, but he's not been great.
He's been okay.
And I think I'm all in on Fleury. I am.
See, I'm all in on Anderson.
He's so locked in. It's scary.
I want Anderson versus the Ducks so we can have a nice bald versus bald, Getzlaff versus Anderson.
We'll get to Getzlaff in a second. Yeah. Now, listen. What do you do if you're the Penguins now with Fleury? Like, is this the last ride no matter what? Or do you think if he wins them a cup?
Oh, you can. I think this is good because they can trade him now. I don't think they could have traded him before this.
I think you're probably right.
They couldn't buy. They had to buy
him
out.
You can audition for other teams.
Yeah, now it's weird that Dallas wouldn't wait, though. Like, Dallas likes
Ben
Bishop.
They love Bishop. Here's the thing about that. I saw some people critical of Ben Bishop going to the Stars for like four, I think it was like 4 years, right, maybe? Or is it six? What was it?
Did they sign him already?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they just traded for him. I don't think they come up with a deal already. They hadn't even started negotiations when they traded him.
Or were they just talking about what kind of contract they were going to give him?
Yeah, I don't think they've come to terms yet.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they gotta buy it. They gotta make some financial.
Yeah, they still have the two other goalies.
But here's the thing: like, I saw some people saying that if they were gonna commit to him, that it wasn't worth it because he's got like a wonky groin or whatever.
Yeah, he's 30 now, right?
Yeah, but I like it though. I like it because you could put anybody in that Hitchcock system, he's gonna do all right for a couple years.
Yeah. But that you don't want. The thing is, every time you get to the postseason, his groin explodes. That's not because his groin is the Washington Capitals. It's great in the regular season, but then in the playoffs, it just dies at some point.
But if your working theory is that you can't get rid of Leighton, unfortunately, you're going to have to commit that much money to your goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop and Leighton is light years better than Bishop than Leighton and Niemi.
I think they buy out both of them. I don't think.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance that they ship something to Vegas and have them take one of them off their hands.
See, again, everyone thinks their goalie's going to Vegas.
Vegas is going to be a team of goalies.
It's just going to be like four dudes around the crease and like two guys skating around with the puck, just trying to get around people.
It's going to be amazing when they line up for the opening faceoff and they're all wearing goalie gear.
And somehow Kari Lehtinen is still at $8.99 despite the fact he has three guys behind him. Oh, God.
All right, so I like the Penguins in six. You like the Senators in seven. Over in the West, let's get to Getzlaff for a second. The vein on his head is pulsating. A pulsating vein on his head.
Oh, to tell. That's why if I go play poker, I got to wear a hat because I don't want to give away any veins.
Do you have a pulsating vein in
your head? No, I don't.
But he has one where it looks like he has. Do you ever see the movie The Ruins where they're on an Aztec pyramid and killer plants like go under their skin and you can see the plants under their skin?
I've seen parts of it.
It kind of looks like that. Or he has a worm from the strain under his skin.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's got that going on.
Well, so is it like in like NBA Jam when like you get hot? Like is that like a signal?
No,
like
it's more
like
in the movie Scanners where that guy blew up that other dude's head with his mind.
Oh, you ever see the movie Scanners? What's that from?
What was that from?
Come on.
I don't remember.
Oh my God, did you ever see the movie Scanners?
Because they have a headache. What was it though?
Tommy Boy,
that's right. And
David Spade, the company's going.
Thank you. Yeah. That was kind of an obscure Tommy Boy reference. Not Fat Guy in a Little Coat.
Fat Guy in a Little Coat. Fat Guy in a Little Coat.
So I'm worried about the vein. I'm intrigued by...
The vein's not looking good.
I'm intrigued by Kessler, Cagliano, and Silverberg against the Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson line. But I'm not as intrigued by it because I know that essentially Nashville has a metric shit ton of secondary scoring, including all their defensemen that are going to make up for that line if they get locked down.
Speaking of Nashville secondary scoring, I did a throwaway tweet during the Preds game when VC took a penalty. I was like, remember when Jimmy VC bailed on Nashville and then he signed with the Rangers?
Ooh.
The town of Nashville was all over that tweet.
Oh, yeah.
They were so happy with me. Like,
they hate him.
And then like other teams came in like, yeah, thank God he didn't come to Toronto and come play with his dad. Like, oh my God, like everybody hates Jimmy VC. I was unaware of this.
Oh no, it was the hubris of it. Like he was completely within his rights to do what he did.
Sure.
But come on,
but
man.
But he picked the worst possible goddamn team to go to.
I know! He would have been a top six role, I think, in Nashville.
He would have been, oh God, at worst, he would have been top. I mean, like, they're dressing like Vern Fiddler and fucking Cody McLeod. Like, yeah. I mean, there's room for him there. Toronto's now going to be a good team for years to come. Like, Buffalo, I mean, he picked the rain. But yeah, it was kind of fun to see.
I like the Nashville's in six.
Yeah, I like the Preds, too, in probably six, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're too fast.
I also don't like the fact that John Gibson is completely night and day inconsistent.
There was that. Did you watch the game last night? You probably were.
I know. I only saw the last like 4 minutes of it.
He's like one of those goalies where the puck hits him, and like half the time he knows where it is. The other half it's just kind of like squeezing something and looking behind him. Like Leon Draisaitl had a play in the game last night where he had a guy in his back and he was just like too strong and he just whipped a backhand on net and it was trying to go blocker side and it got between the arm and the body and like you could just see Ben Bishop, you could see John Gibson literally shit his pants because he didn't know where the puck was. Like he squeezed his arm and he fell backwards and he looked over and it was just, he never knows where the puck is and I just think that's...
Can I tell you how insanely jealous I am of Oilers fans?
How insanely jealous of Oilers fans are you?
They got to game 7. They had a legit shot of winning.
Mm-hmm.
They lost. And it's what... I am so jealous of teams that lose and just don't give a shit that they lost.
But they should.
But why should they?
If they would have won that series, they have home ice in the conference finals.
Okay.
Technically, they're the favorite
but
in that series.
But who cares? Like, their window to win is the next 10 years.
Yeah. You never know. You never know how easy it is going to... Like, this is a year where any of these four teams can win the cup.
Yeah.
And the Oilers could have been one of those four teams.
I respect that. They could play
Ottawa and have home ice against... They could have home ice in the Stanley Cup final.
That, I agree.
They're not like a 94-point team that barely got in.
But it's like, hey, we win, great. If we lose, like, it's fine.
Yeah, I get that.
Because we have a good run of years until all of our players end up in New York or Los Angeles.
and it's the way they lost. It's not like Leon Draisaitl had 16 points. McDavid was kind of but he was still good.
How was Lucic? Did he make a difference?
Lucic did dog shit. Benoit Pouliot did nothing. It was all these veteran like Jordan Eberle's not a veteran, but Jordan Eberle was a fucking horrible player for two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Cam Talbot stood on his head. Cam Talbot never really hit a wall. It was the veteran guys. Like I get it. You haven't done shit for 11 years, so you're an Oilers fan, you're happy, but I just it really feels like a missed opportunity, as I wrote on Vice.com today.
Oh, on Vice, no less.
Plug.
Yay.
But yeah, I get it. I understand where you're coming from as a fan. But I would just be a little bit worried that maybe it might not get... Because think about it. They got to pay Draisaitl. They got to pay McDavid in a year. What's
sure.
the team going to look like then when they have to buy out Lucic?
Maybe fine.
Wow.
Connor had a good education in these playoffs, though, playing against the Kessler line, as far as like what you got to do.
Yeah. So wait, do you feel like it's going to be a situation where the Oilers have to blow it up if they can't get past the Ducks ever?
Yeah, if they can't get past the Ducks, If a 45-year-old Ryan Getzlaff is beating them in a few years, then you're going to have to blow up the team.
Dude, Ryan Getzlaff is going to be the poster boy for dad strength the last 5 years of his career. He's going to be that total strong dad that just bullies around a little guy. You can't get around, puck off me.
Have you tried? I tweeted about this morning. Have you wrapped your brain around the idea that Randy Carlisle, a guy that we said was a horrible choice and the Ducks wouldn't even make the playoffs and shit like that, is now in the Final Four? Because I can't get there yet.
No, I mean, I didn't think the West was really that great.
The only thing I can say is that maybe the fact that he knew all those guys and a familiarity with the roster and a familiarity with the franchise, like, that's part of the reason why it worked.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
It's also a situation where...
It's not been a good playoff for analytics, I'll tell you that.
No, but like I was saying this before that for like 4 years, I think we got our brains like skewed because of the Blackhawks and the Kings.
Right.
Every year it was just like, well, you can't beat them. And the Ducks this year got to play the Oilers. They didn't get to play the Kings or the Blackhawks or anything, and tough in the second round. They got to play the Oilers were tough, but that was a much more winnable series. Now they're playing Nashville. Like if Nashville wins that series in 4 or 5, I still think even though they got to the Final Four, you can be like, oh, Randy Carlisle, that's right. Mm-hmm. Now I remember.
Now.
Flower.
Are you ever, where do you buy your groceries?
I go to this place by my house.
Just a random place.
It's an Acme.
You go to Acme.
Which sucks. I don't like it. There's no booze there.
Acme did not make this list. I have in front of me.
Oh, this is the thing you were talking about?
I have in front of me.
Okay.
A list of...
I'm glad you prepped for the show.
It's a new ranking from our friends at MarketForce.com. Ranking of the favorite grocery store chains.
Okay. Now, does this like include like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's? Like,
it does. It does.
Okay.
So what do you think out of all of the supermarket chains, what's number one?
How many are on the list? What's the top?
Jesus Christ.
What? No. Top what? You mean like the top?
It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like 20.
Okay. Let me throw out some names and you tell me where they end
okay.
up.
Okay. All right. Mikey?
Dog. Pathmark.
See, Pathmark I don't think's on here.
See,
I think Pathmark is going to be one that's like under a different, like ShopRite's on here.
Yeah, like they're all the same to me.
Like, but like you know. Pathmark's probably under another umbrella. I'll just tell you what number one is.
Dog, Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's is number three, dog. Trader Joe's number three. Wegmans number one. Publix, which is, you know, in the South.
Publix.
Number two.
I always see Craig Custance posting on Facebook about how much he loves Publix sandwiches. I always picture Publix as like a Wawa. I didn't think that was like a grocery store.
But all you care about is the bottom three.
What's the bottom three?
Safeway.
I don't think I've ever been in a Safeway.
Stop and Shop. That's here in the New York area, I think. There was one in Mattawan where I grew up.
I don't know if I've ever been in one of those.
And the lowest rated place to buy your groceries.
Is it Acme?
Nope.
Oh.
It's Walmart. How do you feel about a place where you can get your like Target? You get your groceries there, and you get a shirt.
Get like a pack of socks.
Is it like a KFC Taco Bell where like why do they know both of those things? Like they should only know one of those things.
I feel like if you're a parent, that's probably like an awesome place to go because you can get like some clothes for your kids and then buy some fucking animal crackers or whatever kids eat. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's probably a good idea. It's like my dream of owning a bowling alley. Not a bowling alley.
What?
A bar / laundromat. Where like during the 30
That's
minutes.
That's a great idea.
I think
do they have
done.
Those?
I think they do some
they
places.
They have to.
But like, yeah, like you're waiting 30 minutes for your clothes to wash before you put them in the dryer. You go get a drink. You go get a shot of something.
If they did that for the DMV, no one would ever make jokes about the DMV.
If you add booze to anything, it gets better. Think about it. What name something booze makes worse.
Your liver.
Is that true? I thought that was only an old wives' tale.
Speaking of booze, Tyson Berry's time at the World Championship has ended as a lower body injury will rule him out for the rest of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
How Berry injured himself is what will lead to questions, according to TSN's Darren Dreger.
By the way, what the fuck is the Dreger Cafe?
I texted
How
Lozo.
Long has that been going on?
I texted Lozo a picture of Darren Dreger of TSN. And Mike Babcock.
Oh, right, you did. I forgot about
sitting
that.
Sitting at a Parisian cafe with the Eiffel Tower in the background during the World Championships. Having a tasty,
that's why it's Paris.
Oh, like we're at the World Championships and we're having the Dreger Cafe. Nice big old glass of Merlot with Mike Babcock.
because somebody else tweeted out another Dregger Cafe thing. So I clicked on the hashtag, and it's like him interviewing Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid.
It's at World Championships.
I thought like this was like a thing that like I thought they flew him and Babcock to Paris and set up an interview near the Eiffel Tower.
What a badass move that would have been.
Like,
I want you to do a new interview segment. Okay, well, I'm going to need two things. A cafe and a plane ticket to Paris.
And also, I need you to fire everybody at ESPN in order to pay for my fucking trips out to fucking Paris.
I can't comment on that.
You can't?
Is that that you're talking about specifically the NBA thing that happened there.
Oh, no,
because
no,
I can't, you know.
I was just picturing like, you know, hey, look, Scott, you've done great work here for a long time.
Oh, but, I see what you're saying.
We're going to have to funnel that money at the TSN so Darren Dreger can order a bottle of fucking wine while he interviews Mike Babcock by the Eiffel Tower. Is that okay?
According to TSN's Darren Dreger, the Colorado Avalanche defenseman playing for Team Canada at World Championships suffered a laceration on his leg while wrestling a teammate in his hotel room.
Okay, I got a lot of questions. Who's the teammate?
We don't know.
What in the hotel room can cause such a deep laceration?
Cause a laceration.
Like, there's usually
the,
not.
I'll say three things right now that can cause laceration.
Okay.
The edge of the bed, if it's a metal bed frame.
Oh, like the frame?
The frame can cause laceration.
Okay.
A broken glass.
But where do you get the broken glass from?
Let's just say, like, at one point, what if it's a hardcore match?
maybe, like, his teammate put him through, like, a mirror?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they're just wrestling, and all of a sudden someone goes through a mirror, and it's like, ECW, ECW.
I'm picturing, like, Ed Norton in Fight Club when he just falls backwards to the glass coffee table. Like, that maybe that's what happened. It's, like, a suite room.
And the third thing would be a hunting knife, but I don't know why that would be in a hotel room. Yeah, but, like, who is he wrestling? Why are they wrestling?
Hold on, let me look at the roster.
I'll say this about wrestling. You know what I used to do in elementary school?
Masturbate?
No. We used to perform figure four leg locks on each other.
Oh yeah, we used to do that too.
During like library.
I'll never forget the first time I tried to do it. I didn't understand where the legs went, and then like I figured it out like mid thing, and my friend screamed his like bloody murder, and I was like laughing maniacally, like I got it.
I'm Ric Flair. Look at me.
Oh, stop it! I can't feel my leg.
Little Johnny's coming in with crutches the next day, and you're like, is this a work or a shoot?
And I'm like looking around the cafeteria. Yeah, anybody fucks with me. If you lay down on the ground and let me get my legs in the perfect spot, I will hurt you. World Championship roster.
So Tyson Barry done. More, I mean, just such great news all the time for the Colorado Avalanche. Never ends.
I mean, it's a laceration.
Yeah, but
it can't be that bad.
Why? I hate Worlds anyway. I know it means a lot to every other country, but to me.
All right, let's see here. He's definitely rooming with a defenseman, right?
Probably. Is there anybody on his team, from his team on that team?
Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would imagine they would... Oh, Ryan O'Reilly's there. He's not a teammate anymore, but... Oh, it's Ryan O'Reilly. Totally it's Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly fucking hit him with his car. They came up with the fucking cover story that it was wrestling in the room. that's my guess. Oh, Matthew Shane. This whole team is Colorado Avalanche guys.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Because who's Mike Matheson? Florida Panthers.
I like that.
Breeding Point. Yeah,
I like that. That Ryan O'Reilly pick is a solid one.
They were like, let's go to Tim Hortons and get some coffee. And Tyson Barry was like, I don't think they have Tim Hortons in Paris. Get in the car. I'm not going to get in the car. I'm going to run you over if you don't get in the... And they just ran him over. And, like, the front grill caught his leg and cut him open. And so they were like, what are we
going
to say?
I like the idea of Tyson Barry going over, you know, the playbook or whatever and just really getting in the swing of things from the next game for Team Canada. And then all of a sudden, Ryan O'Reilly's like, RKO out of nowhere! And just fucking drops him on a table and just slices him open.
And then he's like, you better not fucking tell on me. I'll kill you.
Right.
All right. I was wrestling in my hotel room with Jason Demers. That's fine. That's only got, yeah, I don't know. I like one of these guys he probably played junior hockey with, and that's probably the key to the answer, because it's got to be like somebody, it's either a teammate or a dude he played hockey with in junior.
All right. We have to talk about one other hockey story before we get to the mailbag this week.
What is that?
Which is the biggest hockey story of the week, because it's the biggest story in the world. Which is that President Donald J. Trump, mm-hmm. And my mouth hurts saying that still. Probably never won't.
Well, before we came in here, like we were watching the TVs out in the studio because there was a guy in here taking up our time even though he booked the room. No matter where I do my podcast, someone is either forcing me out early or not letting me in on time.
Right.
But there was this panel. It was like this old dude and talking with a British woman, and he's just like, she's just like, right, and we can't possibly not do that with our president. And the guy was just like, so tell me, what do you think is the answer here for President Obama to fix? I'm sorry, President, and he couldn't say the words. He's like, President Donald J. Trump. It still sounds weird to hear.
So Trump fires James Comey.
Comey don't play that.
At first, saying that it's the Department of Justice that said they need to fire him, and then finally, within a span of 10 hours, basically just dispelling that notion and being like, "Yeah, it was me whole time."
The dumbest group of people to ever run a country.
But the big hockey news related to this, besides the fact that Trump's a Rangers fan, never forget that, is the fact that Vladimir Putin was interviewed about James Comey being fired as he's heading out to play hockey in Sochi. And if you've not seen it, it's remarkable. It's CBS. He's in full hockey gear.
He's walking to the ice.
It's like you expected it to be Vladimir Putin. You know, James Comey fired by the Americans, FBI director involved with Hillary's emails. What's it going to take for you? You know,
go out there and have war atrocities. Christ.
It was surreal, because if you're watching this interview with the sound down, you're just thinking,
well, you know, they have to execute. If they give 110% in getting rid of the FBI apparatus, then everybody will be fine.
We know that there's going to be huge pushback from the U.S. here in the first 10 minutes. We need to go out there and just be strong and play our game and infiltrate America and just worry about what we can do to affect democracy.
But here's the real question, because I think I saw this video on the comeback.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So it's a video of Vladimir Putin playing hockey.
I can't believe this hasn't ever come out before, because he plays hockey all the time.
And nobody gets near him.
Nobody.
People actually freeze and allow him to dangle the puck around them to score.
And even the goalies too. That wasn't in the video, but there was one backdoor play where it wasn't fucking Brian Rust to Sidney Crosby. It was a slow motion backdoor play where the goalie just kind of froze on the right post and was like, I guess I can't get over to stop Putin. Oh, you put it into the wide open net.
Burp, burp.
Great job, comrade.
Do you think he would execute? If you were playing against him and you slashed the stick out of his hands and stole the puck and scored the other way.
I'd die in the shower after the game. It would be like Eastern Promises. Two dudes would just come and fucking knife me. And I'm not Viggo Mortensen. I would fucking die. I'd be like, no, shoot all you want. No, I'm not. No. Oh, wow. What a great play. I'd let him hit me in the balls like Corey Perry. I don't want to die.
I think it's an important video for everybody to watch, because the next time that you complain that Sidney Crosby gets preferential treatment in this league, no friends, that's preferential treatment.
And the best is, whatever this game was, there was an MVP trophy handed out at the end. And guess who got it? Old Vlad.
Oh, the Russian Gretzky got it, ladies and gentlemen.
He was putting the puck in the net.
I just love that. It's like when I play shoots and ladders with my daughter, and I know that if I don't allow her to win, it's going to really be a problem.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, because she doesn't know the concept of losing yet. I'm trying.
Like the kid in, not Happy Gilmore, the one where he has the kid.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Yeah, pissing against the wall. I know that's not great parenting, because I know she has to learn the concept of losing, but sometimes you just got to
She's a Devils fan.
Oh, shit.
Boom! Takes a shot at the whole Wyshynski family with one joke.
Same thing when we play when we used to play Wii tennis together on the Nintendo Wii.
You let your daughter smoke weed?
No, W-I-I.
Oh my god, that's a terrible thing to do to your child. She's not old enough for weed tennis?
I would manipulate the game.
Manipulate?
To be a thing where I would get it to 40-15. And then I would just let her roll after that and feel not only a sense of accomplishment, but a sense of rallying, like the Capitals.
Is your daughter a dictator? Is that what you're telling
us? She might be growing up to be a supervillain. I might be doing a horrible job.
This is the origin story. She gets to high school and she finds everything to be too hard.
Why did you release the laser dragon and nuke our city? Because I'd never lose.
In high school, I was down 40-15 in the third set, and the person won. I didn't know what to do.
From that point on, I knew what I had to do. Never lose again.
Murder. And then she can win a tennis all she wants.
There you go. So Vladimir Putin, greatest hockey player, maybe in the history, in the history of hockey based on the stats.
I mean, I want to see his Corsi first, but let's just check. Let's just assume he's the best.
All right, now it is the time of the show. We picked the conference winners. We did the whole thing. Did we miss anything? Botterill. Hey, Jason Botterill is the GM of the Buffalo Sabres. What do you think, Dave Lozo? Go.
I don't care.
All right. It's time for... No, I actually think it's a really... I think he's a good dude. It's funny. We were waiting to go into the Caps locker room last night for the postmortem, and the Penguins management walked by, and like he was one of the guys who walked by, and I really wanted to just be like, Sabres GM, and just to see what he did, but I didn't do it. But he's going to be fine there. He's earned... I heard this thing about Botterill once that's kind of stuck with me, was that brilliant guy, paid his dues, been in the right organization to, you know, go someplace and implant the managerial stylings of the Penguins someplace else. I heard he was horrible at interviews. I heard he was like a really bad guy at like the actual sit in front of the owner and you know, what will you do for our franchise kind of guy. Like I heard he was shitty at that, and that's why he hasn't gotten a job yet.
So was he more like Chandler on Friends when he would just make a lot of like inappropriate jokes, or did he like send Ben Affleck in his place like Matt Damon did?
Retainer! Now keep your ear to the grindstone. No, but you know what's great about
it's
that?
It's not Mayor Quimby interviewing, it's Ben Affleck. I say that I want to put my ear to the grindstone.
I'm kind of in love with that theory now, because like think of like a guy who is a spectacularly bad job interviewer, and the person he's following in the job is Tim Murray.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
I do get it.
Like,
now,
you could be the worst job interviewer, but if the guy who followed you is, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do with Jack. Why do you ask?
Where do we get such wonderful toys? Oh, God. The thing I keep wondering is like, everyone's a great hire. What a great job. But why? What do you base
who,
it
Botterill?
On? Yeah, what do you base it on?
Smart as shit. Analytics guy.
What do you base it on?
He's had a hand in building championship teams.
What did he do? That's what I mean. Like,
what do I have his LinkedIn in front of me? I don't know what the fuck he did.
But do you think it's a great move, though?
Yes, I do.
It's an AG. Like, anytime an AGM gets hired, I have the same thought.
Also,
everyone's always like, great hire. Like,
excuse me. On behalf of Terry Bagula, I must remind you, he is a former Sabre. Thank you. Good night. There it is. I'm floating. I actually floated off into the back of my chair like Clooney in Gravity.
He ascended.
Bye.
Like the blue guy in the Watchmen, whatever that guy's name is.
Do you mean Dr. Manhattan?
The big dick guy, yeah.
The big dick guy.
The guy's got the big old swinging blue dick. Come on, like if you think of that guy, that's the first thing you think of is his Schwanz kind of floating around on Mars.
I think of his calming voice and his ability to manipulate time and molecules.
Why are you saying manipulate?
I don't know why
today?
I am. I have no idea. Manipulate. I can say it.
Are my nipples showing? Or are you just like having like a?
I think I've been infected with Baltimore accent disease since that video at the beginning of the show. Barnett of his jersey.
Oh my God!
All right. Question number one comes from Tim Jans. Are you guys confident? Now's the time for the pucks to be like. Are you guys confident with Jake Allen going forward, or does think just even the scales from his past playoff mishaps? I'm pretty sure he's going to be okay, but I am concerned that I understand Marty Brodeur is not going to be a goalie coach next year.
I mean, he was a goalie coach for like a minute, right?
But he was like the goalie whisperer with this guy.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right, though.
Another thing, too, where it's like, oh, what a great job by him as a goalie coach. Like, yeah, maybe Jake Allen was just due to make some saves.
You know, maybe we should be more concerned about the center position on that team with Stastny and Laterra than maybe anything else.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I trust Jake Allen yet. I need a full season of Jake Allen to trust Jake Allen.
Not just a few months.
Not just a couple months.
That's fair.
I want to be in it for the long haul.
Don't go Jason Waterfalls wants to know, is the new Baywatch movie going to be so bad that it's actually good? Or will it be so good that there's no way to call it bad because it's so good?
I saw the commercials for it. First of all, is Zac Efron the first ever like professional bodybuilder to be an actor? Like, I mean, that dude is so ripped.
He's
like,
so disturbingly ripped.
Like, he's literally like one of those dudes that would be on ESPN2 at 3:30 in the morning in 1996, oiled up on stage.
What is it about this crop of like teen stars where they all felt like they had to get jacked? Like
who?
Like Nick Jonas. Two of the Jonas brothers that aren't like homebodies now. The one other guy had kids and he's just done. Like the other two guys got like ripped.
I don't know. I could not picture what he looks like.
All right, but he did. And
he's a singer,
Efron
though,
got
right?
ripped. Yeah,
but like
I feel like remember Zach Morris got ripped.
Did he?
Remember he got jacked for like the college years? Like Mark Paul Gosselaar got like big.
But like it's one thing to get big. Like Zac Efron has like no body fat. I'm concerned that like he's because like what's his name? The dude from the fucking other YA movies who's always at the Ranger games.
You mean Anson Elgort?
Whatever that guy's name is. Like,
you mean for once in future Puck Soup guest Anson Elgort, who's in The Baby Driver?
He's not at the gym.
He's not ripped.
Right.
He's like us.
He's totally.
I like him.
And the other guy, too. this fucking guy who's in the movie with the drugs and the. He played the boxer. He got ripped for that, I guess. But like.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, that guy's ripped.
Who are we talking about? What's his face? Michael B. Jordan?
Miles Teller.
Oh, Miles Teller. He's in the movie with the fox. Let's make Creed.
I know who Creed is. He played the other guy. Vinny Pazienza, was it? I don't know. But yeah.
No, Miles Teller, yeah. He's a normal dude, too.
He's just like Zac Efron's, he's possibly the hottest human being living. I'm willing to say that as a heterosexual man. But the point of the question was, I don't know, the commercials look kind of funny.
They look kind of funny. I think there's a high possibility of it being 21 Jump Street,
yeah,
kind of funny.
That's what it feels like to me. Is like they're going to make fun of the whole premise of like we're watching The Bay. Like it looks like it could be okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson rarely makes a bad movie. His movies are usually entertaining.
The one with I can't remember anyone's name anymore.
Because of Seattle.
Central Intelligence. Oh, dude, I know.
Seattle drained your brain. Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart
was actually funny.
Not bad.
It looked terrible.
But it's got this movie also has Alexandra Daddario. Do you know who she is?
I think so.
Yeah, this is her. Remember her?
Oh,
from,
yes, from True Detective.
From True Detective.
Yeah, she's
and she's going to be in a bikini.
I'm okay with that
for most of the film. So I'm going to have to go and give it a big old thumbs up.
Actually, she was in another movie with The Rock.
Yeah, she played his daughter in the fucking Earthquake movie.
Oh, don't tell me they bang in this one or like, you know.
I think he's more like the Hasselhoff. I think he doesn't bang any of them.
Oh, okay,
he's just like their den mother or whatever.
I might go see that movie. I gotta go see Guardians this weekend.
It's great.
I haven't seen that yet.
Then we won't do the Guardians question because Nick Massey wanted to know favorite least favorite part of Guardians. I will say this about the Guardians movie, not to spoil anything. The Guardians movie has one of the sickest, most twisted, I can't believe Marvel allowed it villain plots I've ever seen. It's great. Mm. It's so good. It is like it. The deeper you dig into it and how. Not only how fucked up it is in actuality, but also psychologically, it's perfect. It's so good. Guardians 2, I highly recommend it. I actually may have liked it in a different way than the first one, but it's close.
I feel like somebody gave that away on Twitter. I think I kind of know what it is. Not the full twist of it, but like who the bad guy is, because people have to fucking tell you about movies 8 minutes after they came out.
Oh, speaking of which, Steve Woodhead wants to know, what's the most obnoxious kind of shaming? Okay. Food? Film or travel, as in, oh my God, you've never eaten, seen, been to blank? Which is the most obnoxious type of shaming?
What was the second one? Movie?
Food, film, or travel. Oh my God, you've never seen blah, blah, blah? I don't think travel. Well, okay. The most obnoxious kind of shaming is travel, because travel requires a much larger investment than food or film. So like if you're like, oh my God, you've never been to Buenos Aires or, you know, you've never been to Fiji?
Yeah.
That would be really obnoxious.
Because I love food shaming Travis Yost. Like that's
he's got the worst food takes I've ever seen of anybody alive.
Like I can't possibly say that's the answer. So yeah, the third one, travel.
Yeah, I would say travel.
Oh my God, you've never been to... I was actually surprised by how many people I know have been to Seattle. Like, they never really mentioned it. Like, why didn't anybody tell me that place was so awesome? And
are you ready to have an NHL team there now?
Oh, my God. I want a team there more than Vegas at this point. Like, move Phoenix to fucking Seattle or Glendale or wherever the fuck they are now. Move them to Seattle. Get them there. It's cooler environment. It's nice.
Dave Mickledowney.
Dave Mickledowney.
You know.
That sounds like a character they make up on It's Always Sunny. Hi, I'm Dave Mickledowney, real estate agent.
How relieved is the NHL/NBC that two Canadian teams won't play in the cup final? I don't think they're out of the wilderness yet, because they still could have Ottawa in the cup final, and that's a death knell.
I am so baffled as to why anyone who's a fan gives a shit about that. I see that tweet all the time during the playoffs, like, oh, this is the nightmare matchup for the... Like, why do you care?
I'll tell you why I care.
I mean, like, we care because it's our business.
I know, I care because it's my business. I care because I want people to get into it.
Let's get
And I care because I genuinely hate negative media coverage of the NHL. And when the
boy, you must. Why do you follow me on Twitter?
I meant from the outside the family. The ratings for Ottawa and the Ducks were the lowest like recorded, and so like we could be headed for another one of those, and like that's just going to be like
was it Ottawa
hockey's dead.
Ducks jersey wasn't that the worst one? Ducks jersey in 03?
No,
that was the worst one.
No, Ottawa and the Ducks had like one of the lowest recorded ratings for any show ever on like a Saturday night.
But I understand when the ratings come out and you're like, oh, this sucks. But like to like worry like two rounds in advance, oh my God, this is going to be awful when it's blank versus blank. Like awful for, yeah, NBC. But like why that tweet bugs me more than any other tweet when people do that. But, you know, I don't know. They're probably not going to be happy if it's Ottawa versus Anaheim. Nashville-Pittsburgh is probably the ideal matchup, right?
I would agree with that. That's the sexy money one.
Mm-hmm. Sexy.
Couple more real quick. Terry Kelly wants to know, how do you pronounce the Keebler cookies shaped like elves? I say E-L fudge, but I have a friend who says El fudge, almost elfudge.
Like Spanish El fudge?
I always thought it was E-L fudge.
Yeah, it's E-L fudge.
But El fudge kind of makes sense now that I've seen it. Like that might be...
Elfage? Like all one word? No, it's E.L. Fudge. That question's kind of weird, but it's not as weird as the guy who stands up and wipes his ass that we got last week.
Oh, I had one more of those type questions. Oh, here we go. Finally, Gary wants to know.
How do you wash your balls? Gary, leave me alone. No, it's Gary's
question. One at a time. That's what the rest of us do.
I put on my balls one sack at a time. Just like every other American. God bless you and God bless America.
How do you use those toilet seat covers?
I don't.
Tear it first or just sit on it?
I don't. I've never used a toilet seat cover.
I don't either.
I will wipe it down, but I will never put
it
on.
Yeah, I'm going
to
wipe it down because usually here in the city there's urine on it.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing. Oh, by the way, the season's over. We can do this. The MSG press room has a urinal and a toilet. And, like, once you get done doing the locker room, it's pretty much, there's a kind of a rush for it. Also, right outside the press room is the MSG concourse where you can go to a bathroom. If you're going to poop after the game, don't do it in the press room bathroom.
Members of the media.
This is members of the media.
Yeah.
Like, there's like 40 stalls right outside. There's privacy. Just go poop out there. And I get it. It's the end of the game. There's probably some rough toilet seats in there.
Right.
But you can find one.
There's no courtesy left in the world.
No.
No.
And the funny thing was, it was after game six. I'm standing there peeing, and I didn't know someone was in there. All of a sudden, I just hear... and, I jumped. I was not prepared for a huge 10:45 poop happening to my left. But I'm just saying, maybe go outside.
Oh, I thought Larry Brooks was making a propeller noise. Speaking of that, I was in the press row in Pittsburgh for game six, and I was a late addition to the press box, so I was all the way on the right side. You know, like if you're like a late credential, you don't get to sit with like all the regular folks. You're just like there where like they kick out a scout. You get to sit in that chair.
Go watch the game on TV. Scout.
And I had to go take a piss between periods, and I knew there'd be a rush because like it's a tight game, whatever. And I go and I say, you know what? Instead of making a right where everybody else is going to be, I'm going to make a left and see what happens. You know what I discovered? A family bathroom. And here's the best part.
Where was this?
In Pittsburgh.
Oh, I thought you were saying MSG. I was
no,
like,
no,
where
no.
the fuck is that?
Because, like, what families are on press row? There are none families.
Well, what about when...
What were you going to say?
What if, like, Bob McKenzie wants to take a dump with Sean McKenzie?
The name. They would qualify for the.
They would use that bathroom together.
Finally, because you have to go.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Let's talk about MSG for a second. Do you consider it to be?
Nope, it's terrible.
Do you consider it to be a worthwhile and commendable attempt at trying to treat the press well by, along with horrible coffee and boxes of year-old popcorn, They just started bringing a giant bowl and throwing like Halloween candy in it.
It's fucking great. I got to get off. I'm glad they're out because like between everything I ate in Seattle and the candy at the press box, like I'm going to be 260 pounds by like June.
Like every other place. Like I had a meal in Pittsburgh where it's like for $10 you get like seven. It was like being at a wedding. It was
the press meal.
A bunch
mean?
of. But in the Rangers games, it's like
It's the worst.
There's nothing. And then you go upstairs, and finally it's just like, they're like, you know what? These guys, let's just give the media something. Here's a bunch of Almond Joys.
And the best is like, they run out. If you get to a game, like say like I roll in for a 7 o'clock game at like 6:30,
yeah.
They're out of water in the fridge already. Like, I just want a water. I'll pay for it. Like, put more in there. I'll give you $2 for it. It's in terms of getting free stuff, and the press meal too is bad. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had it in years, but it used to be bad. It's not the best place to get free stuff if you're a journalist.
No, it's not. No. All right, that's a show for this week. Thanks to everybody who said hi when I was in D.C. in Pittsburgh. The two dudes that I saw at the Irish Channel that were in the Puck Daddy Fantasy League, whose names escape me because I'm horrible with remembering them.
You were drunk.
Dave and I say hi. I wasn't drunk yet.
What's up?
And, yeah, that's about it. Condolences to our friends. You wrote about Capitals fans, and I think that's a beautiful thing to write about because I really do feel horrible for Capitals fans.
Yeah, somebody just tweeted at me. They were like, use my thing for the eulogy. Don't do it. Don't do anything mean. Don't do anything mean to us. I mean, what could you possibly say at this point that you haven't said about the Caps?
Yeah.
It's just sad.
I have a lot of friends in D.C. still, and I really feel bad that they've got to go through this every fucking year. And now twice at the hands of the Penguins.
And they're not like a fan base where like they've had all this success and now you can laugh at them. Like, they've got nothing.
No, I think the worm turned on Ovechkin and the Capitals a while ago, where like people are just like, oh, come on, just enough. Just win already.
Right.
Stop this nonsense.
It's like that scene from The Simpsons where it's like, stop, you're already dead.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this one. And you have anything to add there, Seattle boy?
No, I had a thought about something, but I got no time. I got to be downtown in 29 minutes. So
downtown. All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.